evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's March 20th, 2007, and welcome to episode number 59 in our series. Tonight's topic is Spotting Predators in the Publishing World, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Dave Kuzminski. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Dave Kuzminski is both a writer and the owner and editor of Predators and Editors. As a writer, he manages to inflict words upon readers in order to entertain them. He's been writing for several decades. As an editor, he manages to inflict recommendations upon publishing businesses who sometimes are not entertained. He's done that for 11 years, though it probably feels like several decades, to some of those businesses that are recommended against. One of his favorite titles that he's written is called Night Spirits, and it's available from Double Dragon Publishing. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Hi, Dave. Gosh, it's great to have you on our show. And, you know, do you realize you're one of the most feared people in the industry?
I kind of got that impression when I saw a copy of a discovery that was put out by one lawyer for one particular publisher to a writer, and one of the things they demanded was to know what I had told that writer. They mentioned me by name in the discovery.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That's good, because just think of all the publicity that gave you, too.
Well, that writer already knew about me.
That's too good. So, before we go any further, tell us what your website address is. Quite often now, our listeners like to go to the website.
Oh, our web address. We actually have two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is http://, you know, the usual thing at the beginning there. Another realm, AnotheRealm, all one word. And don't put two R's or you'll go to a fake site that some group tried to put up. .com/prededitors, PREDEDITORS, and that'll get you to our index page. Or you can go to our alternate site, which is at InVirtual, and the address for that one is the InVirtual.cc/prededitors. And that site is in Canada. So we're kind of multinational here. And we have a third site that we keep hidden so that if somebody tries to shut us down, we can still come back online.
What a great idea. And, you know,
well, we had it happen once in the very first year where somebody made a false accusation. Of course, the ISP reacted the wrong way. They didn't investigate. They just shut us down. So we moved to another site. Unfortunately, it was still the same ISP, so they shut us down a second time. So we moved again, but it was still them, and they shut us down a third time. But then the SFWA, Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, stepped in and gave us some web space on their site for a couple of years at no charge. And also, their lawyer took the other guy on, and he's not online anymore. We are.
Well, that's quite a story. Well, today we're going to be talking mostly about scams and all the stuff that's going on out there as scammers and in the publishing industry. And I know that you have quite a long list on your website. And so what I want to ask you right off the bat is, what criteria depicts a scammer in the publishing industry?
Well, now we got to be careful about the terminology. Now, there are some known scammers, but we only refer to them if we know that they've been convicted, and therefore then we will safely say, yes, they are a scammer. But the majority of them are what we call questionable. So even in our recommendations in our About P&E page, we point out that these are simply, they don't fit our criteria, so we're not recommending them because they fail our criteria. You may still want to deal with them, because in some instances it will still makes sense. There are some vanity publishers that we feel they don't really tell all the truth about what they're offering, but they are still a valid source or resource for some writers, especially poets and those who just need a family history or something of that sort printed up for members of the family, wherever they are in the country, and things of that sort. So that is one of the key things you have to remember. We recommend based upon our criteria, which, of course, are among the strictest in the industry, which is why a lot of people believe when we say we don't recommend them, that somebody's a scam. It doesn't mean that they're a scam. It just means we don't recommend them, and that's our reasons why.
Well, you certainly do hold
hold
the power there, and which is a really good service for the industry. So how this criteria, can you just give us a few points of what your criteria is?
Yes, I will. I'll bring it up on so I can re-drum it here in a second, because otherwise I will forget half of it myself, and more important to be accurate than to just talk for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what we have are different criteria based upon what we're rating, what we're giving an opinion of, because our ratings are definitely opinions. So we have one set for agents, another set for publishers and distributors, another set for chats and forums, which is one I never thought we'd have to create, but we did after we found a few problems. Contests, we're really tough on them. If you got a fee involved, we just don't recommend you because too many places are abusing that fee. We've heard of too many, although I won't mention them by name, that have charged a fee and then not either given out the prize at the end or it went to somebody they knew.
Wow.
But since we can't prove all of this and we don't want to go to court over that, we won't mention any names right now. Then we've got another set of criteria for editing, indexing, and software. Magazines fall under book publishers and distributors because they face basically the same problems as those. We've got another one for organizations, for promotional sites, resources, workshops, and hopefully we won't ever have to develop any more, but if we do, we'll do it.
Well, that's quite a list that you have already. I note one area that you don't go into in the publishing industry is reviewers. Is there?
Now that's promotional.
That's under promotional.
Yes.
Okay.
Because reviewers are promoting books. Whether you do it positively or negative is your business, because if it's a good review site, there's going to be reviews both ways.
Mm-hmm. So, and when you speak of contests now, do you mean, what type of contests were you talking about?
Literary contests.
Literary.
In general.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, this is certainly a huge list. And so do people actually send in information to you? Do you go out there and scrounge around to see what's happening? Or
the first year or two, 12 years ago, we had to go scrounge around because the majority of writers were very new to the Internet and computers. And I have a computer background. I'm a programmer with 27 years of experience in computers. So having built them, programmed them, you name it. So a computer doesn't scare me at all. And essentially back 12 years ago, most writers were still trying to find their way around, let alone understand what they were doing there. But I could see immediately that this was an equalizing tool for writers who were usually working alone against the scammers, because immediately a couple of those started emerging, as you know, such as Edit Inc., which was convicted of fraud by New York governor, not governor anymore, former Governor Spitzer, one of the good deeds he did, and then there was the Deerings, who were convicted in, I think, Tennessee, and then there was another group that was convicted a year or two ago in Texas. We don't get many victories like that, but when we do, they're important. And after a couple of years, writers started getting more knowledgeable. There were more sites online because Predators and Editors is one of the oldest for literary resources like it. Mainly, we refer to it now as a watchdog site, and there are other good ones such as Absolute Right, Writers Net, Writer Beware. I can hardly think of all of them. There's a dozen of them, and most of them are very good. And after a couple of years, the writers started giving us information. for instance, on one particular publisher alone, I have something like in excess of 1,600 documents.
Wow.
And the next highest, as far as I recall, is an agency, a literary agency, they call themselves, with about 200 complaints, documents. I'll say both, because it's some of it's just documents where we've somebody sent us stuff and the other is complaints about them. But 200 documents total, easily. And then from there, the numbers go down significantly on a lot of them. So we now receive literally 10, 20 emails every day giving us information. Anyway, if you want me to keep talking about that, what we do is we gather this information and then we look at what's being said by who's saying it, because we get complaints not only from writers but from editors, from publishers, and that means editors within publishers and editors within editing services. I've had one editor in an editing service turn in information on at least 7 other editing services that were plagiarizing work. She turned them in. So we checked it out, and sure enough, we found out they had, so we gave them not recommended. And then, like I said, publishers have given us information, resource sites, other watchdog sites have traded information with us, and we get it from everywhere, but writers most of all. And then we look at it, we evaluate it. If it's just a complaint, we take it and we look to see, do we have other complaints that are like this from other people concerning the same business? If we do, then we start by looking at it, and we may put a statement saying, we're not hearing good things about this business in our listing for that business. If we get something more that we can really verify that, yes, this is going on, this is happening, such as one of them sends in an email from that publisher or editor or agency or whatever to them or somebody else that we can verify from the hidden headers on the email that its origin is correct and true, really from that place, and they're saying what they're doing, like we're charging a fee or doing this or that, we'll hit them right there with our criteria. Because if we get it in their own words that they're doing something that's against our criteria, they'll get a not recommended right there just on one document. But if we don't have it in their own words, then we're going to keep digging until we find enough verification that they deserve it. We don't just give it on one writer's word.
Yeah, Dave, that makes a lot of sense. Let me ask a question. If I'm a service provider and I'm not on the list, good or bad, should I be worried?
No. If you're providing one of these business services, editing, publishing, agenting, and you're not on our list, you're still okay, because there are literally hundreds we haven't been able to get to. At one point, we had a couple of people working together. Right now, it's just me, as some people try to point out. It's just one man, and he's got all this power. Well, they gave it to me. If they're afraid of me because of the power, it's because they gave me the power. They made my recommendations stand that much taller, and that's because I've tried to infuse the entire site with integrity. You'll even find a couple of complaints listed in the opinions and in a couple of listings about predators and editors, also known as P&E, that they sent it to us. We posted it right on our site, warts and all. If they want to complain about us and they really want to put it there, all they got to do is send it. We've had that statement somewhere in our about page, I believe, there for ages and ages, well, 12 years roughly, that, yeah, we'll put it, but at the same time, if you lie about something or whatever, we'll get you. But I've tried to infuse the entire site with integrity, which means letting our own warts show. And if you've ever seen where I post at a number of forums, Absolute Right, Authors Net, and Backspace, and Writers Net, and there's so many I've been to, I don't remember all the names. But when I post something at those sites, once in a while somebody will say, you can't say that. Say, yes, I can. I just did, and I'm standing by it, even if I'm wrong.
Well,
and it's a matter of integrity. Sometimes you got to let your warts be seen and let people know, yeah, I can screw up once in a while.
Yeah, I get that, definitely. Let's talk about the evolution of a scam. I mean, do people start out with good intentions and they just kind of get greedy, or how does that work?
It works actually three ways. We have some that start out as scams, pure and simple. That's all they are. They figured out something because they talked to somebody else or were taught by somebody else how to do it and make money and get away with it. So they just plain and simple started out a scam. But proving that that's why and how they did it, that's for the authorities to worry about. We just know that some of them did start out that way. Some of them were started out by individuals who were enthusiastic and clueless. In other words, they had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea that running, let's go with the example of a literary agency, that you would have to have enough money to support yourself while you get clients and make sales before you would have any income coming in. And after a while, that fact hits home, and then they start saying, I got to do something. Well, some of these others are charging a reading fee or a management fee or a representation fee, ways of them getting around calling it a reading fee, so nobody would get upset with them because the AAR, the Authors Association of Representatives, Association of Authors Representatives, which is the professional organization for many very reputable literary agents, has a rule banning reading fees for their members. And of course, a lot of non-members claim we live up to their ethics, meaning no reading fees and all that. But of course, they can't do it, so they have to go with a representation fee or whatever the name they give it that's up front. They haven't done any selling yet. They may not ever make a sale, but they've got an income now coming in. And of course, gradually, they become just like the agencies that started off as pure scams. But they had good intentions. And then the third kind is the agency or agent that starts out with a background in publishing from somewhere. Could have been as an intern agent with another agency or as a editor at a well-known publishing house or something of that nature. And they get into the business after leaving the publisher or whatever or another agency. And they start out, they make a few sales, but then they slack off and they start finding out it's a hard job to be a literary agent. It's a very tough job. And you've got to be a go-getter and not only do all the things like reading the book manuscripts and answering your mail and taking care of the negotiations if you have a sale and then monitoring the royalty checks that come in from those sales and making sure that it's divided properly and whatever, that some of them finally get to the point that they see this isn't worth it or whatever, and they start charging a representation fee or whatever at the beginning, at the upfront, in other words, with any new writers they take on. Or even worse, in a couple of instances, they just take the advance for the last couple of sales and any royalty checks and just keep them.
Wow.
So, and those have unfortunately both happened. It's gone both ways. And these are people who were reputable, legitimate agents. They just, as you would say, went to the dark side, to use a Star Wars term there. And it's sad, but it has happened. So scams can go from several sources, come from several sources. They can come from outright crooks, from clueless individuals, and from legitimate agents who just get pulled to the wrong side because they can't handle it anymore. Maybe they snap, I don't know. I'm not going to claim to be a psychologist, even though I've had courses in psychology and college and all that good stuff. And if you look at scams in publishing, editing, and a few other areas where there's money going back and forth, you will find that the sources of the scams are basically the same. You have the outright crooks who think this is going to be easy, make money, not do any real work, the clueless, and the ones who actually knew what they were doing, but in order to make ends meet, they had to take shortcuts until they found themselves on the dark side.
Yep, I can certainly see that happening over and over again. And one thing that I decided early on in my business model was that, you know, as a publisher, I would never even take $1 from an author, and I'm glad I've been able to stick to it.
Right.
So, let's see, what next? Irene, over to you.
Dave, you just talked about, you know, some of the intentional scams, and what brought to mind that I've noticed lately what's been happening is there are some sites that, and the most, I believe they're blogs, that have been created. What they're doing is they're picking up our interviews and reviews, and I would assume it's not from our site. I think it's from eZine Articles, and maybe Author Stand, wherever we post them. And it looks like what they're doing is transferring them into another language and then back into English and then putting them on the site. And the reason I'm thinking that is because there's just some of the stuff is messed up and it looks like it's been, you know, a language transference. And what they're doing also is the pages are full of Google ads. And from what it looks like to me, and I want to have some comments from you on that, is that they're creating these blogs, putting on whatever information they can pull off that's free out there, putting them on, and making money from the Google ads.
And correct. That's what they're doing.
Is that what they're doing? And it's really messing up some of the reviews and interviews that, you know, are legit, that are good, but all of a sudden here we are, reader views stuff is out there, and it's all messed up. And unfortunately...
Well, what you would do under that circumstance is you would use the DMCA, which is one of the few things the Act is good for, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, I think was the name of it, DMCA, and you would have to send them a warning letter and send one to the ISP and get the ISP to make note that this is copyrighted material, if it's yours, even if they have sent it through an interpreter and sent it back through to put it into English that's not quite exactly like yours, and copyright does not mean that it has to be exactly your words. It has to be following. If you can see that it's been done that way, you can probably still prove it under copyright that it's a violation, although it's a little harder. But the ISP, you can tell them, here's the original. Here's what they've done. They've transferred it to another language, then back so that it tries to look different, but it's still the same thing. And they'll be able to see that there's enough of a parallel that they can't just claim they wrote it. And if they follow the DMCA, what they have to do is they have to cut off that site.
Well, that's some really good information. Definitely. So you are familiar with this happening then in the Internet?
Oh, yes. I've had one of my stories stolen over 100 times.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's been it's even been translated into Tagalog, Japanese, I think Spanish, and one other language. It's shown up in Muslim sites, Baptist site, some trail mix site, a newspaper in South Carolina took it without permission, and it, like I said, over 100 times.
Wow.
And wow. I was and half of them didn't even have my byline still with it. And I would have to send a letter by email to them telling them either restore my byline or take it off. I'll let you keep it on, but I want my byline back. I was trying to be nice about it. I'd rather have the story out there.
Well, yes, and, but not mutilated.
It was even the scheduled sermon in a church on 9/11.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Well, and probably a lot of us have a lot of stuff out there that we don't even know about. Occasionally I come across these because Google alerts will alert me. I look and it's like, oh my goodness, this is a real mess. So what, okay, so this is one way, and this is only one situation, but what if, as a writer, as an author, I get myself mixed up in some kind of a scam, not, you know, with a scammer, what is my recourse?
If you get mixed up with a scam, well, personally, I recommend turning state's evidence and turn them in. That's probably the best thing, and that's the best way to salvage your reputation, because if you don't, people are going to remember you used to work for it, because sooner or later it's going to get caught and prosecuted. We had a very good year in 07 and I think in 06 with getting a couple of small agents in Texas and whatnot caught by the law and prosecuted. They're doing hard time, and you don't want to have been an intern at one of those and one of them had an intern who went out and set up her own agency in the same county, in the same state, doing the same thing. And it's just a matter of time before she finds herself doing hard time. But it's just a matter of them getting enough evidence to eventually do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're innocent and you find yourself caught up in it, and I know it has happened to some individuals, there were some that had that problem happen to them with, I believe, the Deerings. And they had moved from state to state to keep ahead of everything for a while. But I think when they were in either Florida or North Carolina is when I first ran into them, and they had a legitimate writer doing reading and whatever. And the writer left. But, of course, you would hate to have anyone remember that you once worked for them under the name they had then for that agency. And really, the best thing is if you realize that's what's going on, turn it in right then and there. That's the best way to salvage your reputation and actually make yourself a hero instead of a zero.
Wow, yeah, that's another sobering story. I'm sure you have a lot of those. I want to go into an area which I'm not sure whether you cover or not, but what I hear the most dissatisfaction is when people have hired a publicist, and this is someone who they pay anywhere between $1,000 to $3,000 a month for 6 months, and they don't really get any status reports, and then they just kind of run out of money and they can't afford it anymore.
Exactly.
Where does that fit?
We've been following a few, but we simply are not getting the kind of complaints about publicists that we would get about other things such as literary agencies, publishers, editing services, and the like, because the publicist job is totally different, and if they're at least, even if they're just doing a spam campaign, at least they're doing something. But if you're settling for a spam campaign, you're already shooting yourself in the foot, because nobody likes spam.
Yeah.
The ham product that's put out by whatever, that's a good product, but unfortunately their product name has also come to mean this unwanted mail, email. So, yes, I've had spam for supper many times. It's a great meal, but on email it's terrible.
Yeah.
So I'll give them a little plug there. What is it, Hormel? Probably. But
Hormel.
Anyhow, good product, but lousy email. And publicist are very difficult to pin down if they can show they at least did something. But most publicists, this is what I would recommend a writer do, is ask the publicist, give me the name of a customer who actually saw his sales increase because of your efforts. Ask the hard questions. If they won't answer it, or they say, no, we don't want to deal with you, you just got your answer. Meaning, they're not effective. You don't need their services after all. If they are truly effective, they will be able to give you an example of somebody that you can then get in touch with, presumably a living author. They're not going to give you Edgar Allan Poe's name because, well, he's dead. Has been for a long time and probably never touched a computer. So the point is, ask them the hard questions. Give me the names of some clients of yours who can definitively state they got more sales as a result of your publicist efforts than they had before hiring you. And that's presuming also that their book didn't just start at the moment they got the publicity started, that they already had their book out and they said, I need to get my book selling because it's not selling.
Right, that gets rid of the serendipity effect.
Exactly. In other words, that's the type of question that you would ask the client if they give you a name of a client. You ask that client then, did you start the publicity after your sales were not materializing, or did you start it right at the time the book came out? And if they say right at the time that book came out, well, they don't know that it made it go any better than before, because there was no before. Got to be at least a couple of months after the book came out before they started publicity with a publicist. And then you can say, all right, did it actually increase the sales any or not? So that's the hard question. Publicist,
right, that gives you your controlled experiment.
Yeah. The publicist should be willing to reveal the names of some successful clients of theirs, and the clients should be able to answer that one question. If they can't, either one of them, you don't want to deal with them. Save your money, move on. Write another book, get it published. Don't waste your money on something that's not going to do any good for you. And that's famous words from James McDonald, a science fiction and fantasy writer who writes with Deborah Doyle. I believe he's up in Vermont or Maine, and he's another watchdog participant, so to speak. I think he has SFFNet, and he's been very instrumental in making some other rules that writers should follow, which is, one, instead of spending your money, write another book, a better one, get it published. Another one of his is Yog's Law, money flows to the writer. In other words, if you're putting out money, you're not doing it right. So he's very wise in those respects.
Yeah, that gets back to some basic business principles, doesn't it? I mean, like, if you're going to get a new kitchen put on your house, you'd get references and call them up and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely correct. And basically, if you're going to succeed in writing, the thing is to keep working at your writing, improving your craft, not spending your money on things that are not going to improve your craft. If you go to a writing workshop with well-known writers that are going to be on hand helping you to learn things, that's improving your craft. You're spending money there for an obvious improvement. But if you're just going to spend money on publicity that doesn't bring in any more sales, then you're spending money in a wasteful manner.
That's so true. We're needing to close this, but you know, you're so full of information here that I hate to do this, but we are running out of time. But what I want to do is give you the opportunity to, is there something that's just like some big aha for us out here that want to prevent getting scammed, or, you know, just what is it that we really, really need to look for? Or do you have some big major points
yes,
that you can give us?
I can say this much. Watch for the red flags and weasel words.
Mm.
If a literary agency says, these are books we represented, that's a weasel word. I want to know what books you sold, not what you represented. It might have been sold and actually published, but you might not be the one who sold it. I want to know that you sold it, not the author, and then you negotiated the contract. I want to know that you sold it, not some other agency, but you happened to represent it just before they sold it. I want to know who sold it. Did you sell it? Otherwise, it's a weasel word. Red flags are, we have a representation fee. We need a upfront fee of $300 for copying and postage and courier service. Just how much are copier and postage services anyway? I mean, I've done my own printing and copying and whatever, and I do it for a heck of a lot less than $300. I go to one of the local business stores. I get a case of paper, not a pack of paper, because if you go to a department store and buy a pack of paper, you can pay $5 for 50 sheets. But if you go and get a case at a business store, it's $17, high-quality paper, and it lasts you a long time. Same thing with your ink for your printer, so that you can make your manuscripts to send in for when they say, we want to read it. Do that. Use a mailing rate that's book rate. Hopefully the post office still has it, although I heard they were getting rid of that one. But hey, you can send your manuscript at book rate, and that's a lot cheaper. You don't need to send it by FedEx or anything like that. It aggravates the heck out of agents to have to sign for something. Just send it book rate. It'll get there, whatever. If you have, my area has a lot of humidity during the summer, and I'll take a large gallon-sized Glad bag, put the manuscript inside that, then put the box around that after sealing it, and that keeps it dry, because I've had them come back to me where they got soaked by the rain or the humidity caused the whole thing to fall apart. So I got smart and said, hey, they don't like that tough, but hey, it's a Glad bag, they can always reuse it.
That's good. Gosh, Dave, thanks.
There are ways to cut the cost of what you do have to spend on submitting things. And now so many are taking it by email, which means I don't even have to deal with the humidity for myself when I do something, submit it or whatever. And that's a good deal. And there's no pixels harmed either. They are all reusable.
Gosh.
But watch for the red flags and the weasel words.
I like that, red flags and weasel words. Those are, that's good. And certainly I've learned something tonight, and thank you very much. And as I say, you're one of the greatest watchdogs in the publishing industry, and it's great to have you out there looking out for us and giving us ideas and, you know, who the scammers are and who to watch out. So thank you so much. And again,
I
Dave.
I wish I could call some of them scammers out loud, but.
I know. Well, questionable.
Like I said, we only say some of them are questionable, and if they're questionable, we simply do not recommend them because they fail our criteria.
And that's a good way to leave it. It keeps it safe, and yet it gives us the warning. Dave, would you give our readers, or pardon me, our listeners again, your website?
Okay. We have two sites. One of them is at http://anotherrealm, that's A-N-O-T-H-E-R-E-A-L-M, all one word there, .com/prededitors, which is P-R-E-D-E-D-I-T-O-R-S. And the other site is http://invirtuo.cc/prededitors.
Well, and you certainly do have some very good websites. I know that the listeners can go on there and they can spend hours just searching for all the information you have, and you've put in a lot of effort and time in.
Well, we have over 10,000 documents on all of those listings. In other words, everything that we've said, we don't recommend this or whatever, or we do, we've got documentation.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air April 3rd, 2008, on our new schedule, when our topic will be syndicating a column to increase your sales. And our guest will be joining us is Andrea Reynolds. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send your questions to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, saying good night.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.